You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Now, Simo, you know one of my favourite things to do is scrolling through the old social media, Instagram, yep. Twitter, TikTok, the whole shebang, everything.
You'd prefer to be doing that with food. That's your other favourite thing.
That is a good point.
And I think that about covers it. Oh, actually, you would have had The Bachelor or some kind of reality TV show on the TV, scrolling through the gram while treating yourself to some kind of food.
You know me very well. What can I say?
It's not a stretch, really.
Well, yesterday, while I was doing all of that scrolling, at exactly 7:30 last night, a kind of message popped up on my Instagram. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, okay.
Click on this and we'll see what this is.
All right.
Now, let me know if you reckon this is legit or some kind of scam email. Because I know which one I'm going to, but let's go into it with an open mind.
All right, I'll scan it for you.
All right. Starts off by saying it's quite a long message as well. It kind of takes up the whole screen.
Righto.
Whole page. So it starts off, I'm sorry I had to send you this, but now that you've opened it, you can't stop reading.
I'm already here for this, Jordan. Sounds amazing.
It's like, I like that we've got it without. I'm like, you have to stop reading. It's illegal if you stop reading. You can't stop doing it.
No, it's more like some kind of mentalism like trick, some kind of magic trick. You're like, oh my God, he's right.
I'm not going to lie with you. I read that sentence and the second sentence, and then I did stop reading it until now because I wanted to kind of see what it was.
I'll be your thought process. Go ahead.
All right. So now that you've opened it, you can't stop reading this. Hi, my name is Teresa Fildango.
Hi, Teresa.
I died 27 years ago.
This is awesome.
I mean, perhaps a clue there that this isn't legit.
Yeah.
If you don't send this to 20 people, I will sleep by your side forever. I love the use of the double. Is it called double negative?
I will sleep.
If you don't send this.
Yeah, if you don't send this. Yeah.
If you don't send this, I'll sleep by your side forever.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't believe me, search up Teresa Fildango. Send this to 20 people now. A girl ignored this, and her mum died 20 years later. Jeez. And then no send backs in capitals.
It's like her mum was already 60 at the time.
I mean, I
passed away from natural causes at the age of 80.
I don't know. No, 20 days later, not 20 years.
Oh, 20 days.
Yeah,
sorry.
She was already 80. Then it says, no send backs, all in capitals with 3 exclamation marks.
Yeah.
Then hashtag copied. Which I don't know. Is that hashtag winning? I don't know.
Yeah.
Then it continues. This is where it really starts to get gibberish and kind of weird and kind of gruesome.
Oh, it's still going. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's still going.
Carry on.
We're already halfway through.
Yep.
Sorry, I had to send you this. By the way, this is not fake. Search her up on Google. I'm like, all right, that's the second time they've said that.
Yeah.
Someone send me this and I had to do same. I'm taking no risk of ignoring this message. Why this keeps happening? Another grandma read this, sent it to 20 people, but the internet went off on 19. She was I don't even know if I want to read the last bit.
My goodness.
She was found not alive, shall we say, one day later. Make sure you send it to all 20.
Right, so it's just one of those chain email things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But my favourite part of it has to be the line, hi, my name is Teresa Fildango. I died 27 years ago.
Yeah.
What a line.
So was that one of your mates that sent that to you?
Oh, no, some random.
Oh, it's just a random.
Yeah.
Like, was it her?
No, it wasn't Teresa Fildango. I kind of looked at the profile and it's a whole lot of like car pictures. So
okay, right.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So Simo,
looking forward to the haunting.
I guess. Well, I mean, I could send that to 20 people.
What does it say? She's going to be sleeping by your bedside.
Yeah, well, that's what I read. It's like, if you don't say, I will sleep by your side forever. I'm like, I mean, I'm single at the moment.
You're like, I'd love some company.
I know. You're more than welcome.
I've got a double bed. There's room. Normally I keep that side for my snacks, but I'm willing to make an exception for a ghost.
No, I just do the starfish and just stretch out as much as I can.
Simo and Jordan.
Time for a love chat.
Love chat, baby.
Love a good love chat. And this time the wedding has occurred in the most miraculous of circumstances.
Okay, I mean, I was assuming there was something a bit peculiar about this wedding. Otherwise, why would you be bringing it up?
Are you a garden? Church? Are you a mountain? How would you like to get yours done?
A mountain?
Yeah, like up, you could do it up at Mount Kosciuszko somewhere.
Oh, I was thinking like you climb Mount Everest in your suit and the bride in a dress. I'm like, no, that wouldn't work. No, well, I mean, at the moment, Simo, haven't been married, so haven't had to make those such decisions.
But you've had a, what, 50-50 split on garden versus church?
I reckon I prefer, this may be controversial, but I prefer garden over church.
Ah.
However, garden comes with its risks because you have to plan it months ahead and you don't know what the weather's going to be like on that day. And if the weather's bad, yeah, better go inside.
Yeah, winery is also a big thing now. They have actual venues and stuff, like, yeah, as opposed to just a garden somewhere.
Well, what we're learning is there are a lot of places you can get married.
There are, but... But
thank you.
But not like this place. A couple has got married 85 metres underwater.
Okay. Were they in some kind of submarine or something? Or
they're in scuba gear.
Okay. So that would be a no?
Yeah, so they're in scuba gear and they got hitched, the Indian couple.
So hang on, so they're fully decked out with like the oxygen tank and everything as well?
Yeah, yeah, and the full-on goggles and what have you.
But they can't, because they've got the thing in their mouth to breathe, so they can't talk. And I assume there was a celebrant or something who was underneath the water as well.
Yep.
So it's like his part of the role. Like, how does he do his kind of reading part?
How do they do the lore bit?
Is it just like a lot of sort of nods and grunts and, oh, I think that was an I do. Okay, good.
I don't know how they sign the paperwork. I assume they do that after.
Yeah, they get a towel and then do that after.
But apparently they did this because of COVID-19.
Okay.
So they said it was a traditional wedding.
Yeah.
Which isn't, it's not. You can't say it's a traditional wedding while it's 85 metres and you're underwater and you're completely submerged.
I mean, maybe it's traditional for that family to always do their weddings 85 foot underwater.
Yeah. So apparently, it was due to, like, I don't know why, but it managed to, like, get around COVID restrictions because
it was 85 foot underwater.
Yeah, and because there's no droplets or anything that you could cough on anyone.
I mean,
you couldn't cough or sneeze on anyone because you're underwater.
I just love it because, well, you can't talk as well because you're underwater. So if it gets to that point of the wedding where it's, what is it? It's like, if anyone knows why these two should not be weds, please speak now.
Just a massive splash. Someone jumps in.
Like, I'm going to assume that was a no.
I enjoy it. Actually, we can cross now to, I've got a recording of the, you know how people film their weddings?
Oh, yeah.
Here it is.
Not gonna lie, kinda sounds like someone's drowning. Did the family not like the man the woman was gonna be married to? Is, yeah, we'll do it 85 foot underwater, yeah, tragic accident, etc. Wait, is this the actual wedding?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you just got generic kind water-related sound effects.
No, this is them.
Yeah, this sounds drowning. Are they okay?
They're all fine, by
the way. Okay, good.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, us Aussies, we do kind of have a tendency to kind of, any celebrity that comes to our shores, we like to claim them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So claiming people?
Yeah, well, no, like claiming celebrities. Like, for Keith Urban's a classic. I mean, everyone thinks he's an Aussie. He was technically born in New Zealand.
Really?
But yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I knew about the Russell Crowe scenario.
Russell Crowe is another one.
The Russell Crowe scenario.
it's just forever known as the Russell Crowe scenario.
That's what they should...
Scientists have done full papers on it.
They should do a blanket rule on any anyone that's claimed, like any Australian person that claims a celebrity, it's known as the Russell Crowe scenario.
I think Nicole Kidman's another one. I think she was technically born. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think she was technically born in Hawaii, gonna say.
Okay.
But yeah, so there are lots of these kind of things. And Simo, I think we can add another name to the list. However, I don't know if this is Australians claiming this guy as our own.
As long as they don't take the Hemsworths from us.
No, Hemsworth or us, yeah.
We can take Zac Efron at this point now as well, right? He's been here for a year.
Well, Simo, that's what I wanted to bring up.
Oh, yes.
Because I don't think it's Aussies trying to claim ownership of Zac Efron.
Yeah.
I think it's Zac Efron trying to become an Aussie. Have you seen what he posted on Insta the other day?
I did see. It's he didn't purchase it himself. It was apparently a gift.
Yeah, it was given by all the sponsorship plugs he did. It was definitely a gift.
Ah.
But Zac Efron posted on Instagram that he is now travelling around Australia in a caravan with a full Akubra hat. And the full lot. He is going totes Aussie.
The whole shebang.
This caravan, it's quite a posh caravan, safe to say.
Glamping.
Comes with a complete kitchenette dining room, too, apparently. It looks nicer than my house. It's got a full double bed in it as well, full shower, full lot.
All right.
So it looks like a very expensive caravan.
What I do like about this story is that regardless of how lavish the caravan is, it's still designed for just him. Like, he's not going to take his handlers with him around Australia.
Well, I mean, you say that.
No, surely not.
Not handlers.
Right.
But girlfriend.
Okay.
It is unclear whether she wasn't in any of the various Instagram posts, so it's unclear. But, yeah. I mean, there's a double bed.
Well, you reckon he's going to set her to work, like, if he has to pull the veranda out? Because, you know, how on caravans you have to, like, there's a lot of chopping and changing, you know, things are interchangeable.
Yeah, you got the garden furniture that you kind of put out the front, that sort of stuff.
That's what I'm saying. It's refreshing that, you know, if he's going to travel around Australia, he's surely not going to have a car full of handlers following them around the entire time.
No, then
they get out and unswivel the caravan from the back of the vehicle. He's going to be doing all of that stuff. So.
I mean, I really hope he is. I would love to just, you pull up at some caravan park somewhere and there's like Doris and Betty or something and they're 80 and they've got their caravan and then next to them is Zac Efron just kind of rolling out the veranda, getting the like $2 Bunnings furniture and just chucking that out the front. I would love to see that.
I'm still concerned about some of these celebrities who might not actually be Australian.
I know, I've seen you. You're frantically Googling your favourite celebrity now.
I'm just checking.
Who are you Googling?
I'm just checking if Hugo Weaving is born in Australia. Just give me a sec.
All right.
Oh, he's born in Nigeria.
Hugo Weaving?
Yeah. Damn it.
No, I didn't expect to hear Nigeria. I'm not going to lie.
Neither did I. Damn it.
Oh, well, now that Hugo Weaving's not, Zac Efron, we'll give him. Weaving out, Zac Efron in.
He's got an Order of Australia.
Yeah.
But he was born in Ibadan in Nigeria. So, damn it. There's another one gone, Jordan.
All right, you're just going to be Googling celebrities now.
Another one bites the dust.
Can we just check the Hemsworths.
Please.
They're all we have left. Come on.
All right.
Right, this is just testing how quickly Simo can spell Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Oh, it was already there on Google.
We're ready to rumble. Melbourne, baby!
Woo!
Melbourne! Yeah!
Simo and Jordan.
And biosecurity officials, Jordan.
Yes.
Do you think they have a badge and a gun?
Badge, yes. Gun depends on where they are. If it was America, yes.
Okay.
Cops is filmed on location with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
But I think everyone has a gun in America, to be fair.
These ones have a gun in my mind, but they're from New Zealand.
Okay, probably no. Okay. I don't think Kiwi cops and biosecurity officers carry guns.
So, biosecurity officials in New Zealand have said a woman has been caught attempting to smuggle more than 1,000 succulents and endangered cacti into the country.
Okay, didn't realise that they were a biosecurity risk, cactus and succulents. But no, I guess they are, and fair enough. You know, don't bring stuff that you shouldn't into various countries, fair enough.
So they're an endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
This all went on in the Auckland International Airport.
Okay.
947 plants were concealed in stockings and strapped to her body.
947?
Yes, 947 cactuses strapped to the body.
I can only assume they were tiny. Like, how do you strap that many cactuses? Like, how do you hide that?
When there's a will, there's a way to get the cacti.
Well, clearly there's not a way because she got caught.
So, apparently, she fled to a bathroom when she attracted the attention of a police dog and attempted to dispose of the items, which included 8 endangered and threatened species, and it was worth an estimated $7,200.
Right, okay.
Authorities recovered a large amount of the plant materials from the bathroom, and this was the first time. This is the first offence.
First time?
Yes.
So she'd done this before.
She had another crack at it, and she got caught with 142 seeds hidden inside iPad covers, as well as more than 200 garden ornaments and plant pots, which were in turn carrying at least one snail and pieces of tree fern.
And had, she had this all strapped to her body. How does that... How?
Ah, dear.
Surely someone would have noticed, like, the clunking of plant pots.
Mm.
Like, seeds I can get, but, like, cactuses as well. And why would you, out of everything, don't strap cactuses to your body?
Yeah.
They're very prickly.
She's 38 years of age, and what do they say if, you know, responsibility in life, you know, if you're not ready for a romantic partner,
mm-hmm.
get a pet. If you're not ready for a pet, get a goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
If you're worried about and find a goldfish stressful, get a plant.
Mm-hmm.
If you get one plant, all of a sudden you want to get a hell of a lot more, apparently.
I think we should add another disclaimer to that. Get your plants legally and don't try and smuggle them in, especially not the sharp, prickly ones attached to your body.
It's my favourite part as well in that she has been caught before with plant material, right? Mm. And then the next time, she brings seeds and she thinks she's going to get away with it. But when you see someone rocking up with a whole bunch of, like, empty pots that are designed for pot plants...
And seeds, you can kind of put two and two together.
I reckon she's going to plant them.
So hang on, so she tried it once,
yep.
got caught, and then thought, you know what, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
And she tried again.
That's how she rolled. Officials have said... it's a biorisk to New Zealand to bring non-native stuff, etc. It's an invasive plant into the country.
Mm, fair enough.
But she's been sentenced to 100 hours of community service and...
Oh, I hope it's gardening.
And 12 months weeding.
Yeah, well, that's just really the New Zealand government kind of really digging the boot in. Which is what she will be doing, wearing boots, weeding gardens.
They're like, finally, we can make her happy. This is all she ever wanted.
Yes, you're going to start weeding in the succulent and cactus farm just outside of Auckland.
She gets in front of the court and she's like, Lee, you stand accused of bringing plant life or taking plant life where it does not belong. We sentenced you 100 community hours of moving plant life from one space to the next.
She's like, oh, that's not that bad, actually.
This is perfect.
Oh, no, how bad? Oh, what a shame.
It also includes 12 months of, and I quote, intense supervision.
Okay. From, like, people to make sure... Okay.
You know.
I mean, all that sort of stuff can get really stressful. Maybe she needs, like, to get something in her house that she can help her relax. Maybe, like, a plant of some sort.
Hmm.
Actually, maybe a goldfish.
Yeah.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, do you struggle with remembering which one's right and which one's left, or are you?
I do not. I have it all under control.
What are you doing with your hands?
So you can, if you point straight up, it creates an L.
Okay.
Yep.
Of your left hand, I assume.
Just demonstrating, I know which one my left is.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay, well, good. A Canberra woman hasn't been as fortunate as you.
Is this in Canberra?
Yeah.
Holy hell, I did see this.
You saw the story?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so this Canberra woman has been apparently struggling for years with remembering which one is right and which one is left.
Don't let her drive.
So went with, yes, that would be a bit risky.
Yep.
Actually, no, don't let her navigate. I think driving would be fine.
No,
because you kind of just sort of do it.
Yeah, but what side of the road is she going to be on?
Good point. Well, provided she just sort of follows everyone else.
It'll be fine.
But I think navigated would be right. Go right. No, the other right. So she was struggling trying to remember which one her right and left was. So yeah, she's 23, this woman. So she came up with a bit of a novel technique to kind of help her remember.
Okay.
Now, Simo, you and I, we do enjoy... bizarre, unusual tattoos.
Yes.
You and I both don't have any tattoos on us.
Yeah, I've got a mate. Austin Moriarty is his name, and he's got a moustache tattooed on one of his fingers, so he can put his finger over the top of his lip, and it creates a little moustache.
Hilarious. Austin Moriarty or whatever his name
That's
was.
That's his name, yeah.
Brilliant. However, this woman from Canberra decided it would be fun to have a little L... tattooed on her left wrist.
Yes.
And then, respectively, right on her right wrist.
And she'll never have a problem again.
Well, I mean, I guess so she can kind of look down straight away at her hands and know, oh, L, that one's left, and R, that one's right. Brilliant.
How often do you use left and right during the day, though, that you consciously think, oh, it's left, oh, it's right?
I mean... I'm sure there are times, but they're just,
nah,
you know.
I don't reckon.
But you'd be giving someone, it's like, oh, can you pass me that water bottle? It's the one on the right or something like that.
Yeah.
You kind of, but it's not really memorable.
I reckon once a day max.
Yeah?
Yeah. Inherently knowing left from right is different.
Well, you've already done it multiple times in this talk break alone. So kind of your left and right average, it's got right up for today.
We've got an exception because this woman clearly doesn't know.
Mm.
But if you didn't inherently know,
yeah,
right, left, sorry, if you couldn't inherently tell, it's like hot and cold in the shower.
Yeah.
Which one's supposed to go where to you?
The hot one is the one with the H on it or the red?
Yeah, but what side?
Do they always have? Is it the hot? Hot's on the left.
They always have the same side.
It's always
typically.
The same.
Yes.
Actually, now I think about it, it is.
You inherently know that, but you don't think in your brain that hot is always on the left. Do you? You just hot is where it is.
Yeah, you just look at the one that says hot.
You know it's on the left.
Yeah.
Right? When you turn it, if it hasn't got labelling, you know how the fancy ones maybe don't even have a colour and there's just two taps.
Yeah.
You know which one's hot.
Unless you're this woman.
She's screwed.
She's been scolded for years in multiple showers and thinking, oh, finally I'm doing something about this.
Yeah.
But Simo, I couldn't help myself think of the kind of practical joker inside of me.
Yes.
If I was the tattoo artist, there would be a little bit of temptation just to, on the left hand, draw an R, and on the right hand, draw an L.
Yeah.
Just so this woman would be walking around for the rest of her life kind of going... it's right, and no, that's actually left.
I mean, to be honest, Canberra is one of the more difficult places to navigate anyway.
Mm.
As soon as you hit, so like Parliament House, it's that roundabout goes for ages, and no matter how far you go around it, it's always on your right. You can't escape it. It's always there.
I love that Parliament House is just one big roundabout, essentially.
Yeah, so, like, while she's got these tattoos and you reckon it's going to help her navigating, I don't know if it will, to be honest, because that place, the roads are chaos. I get lost all the time, and I know my right from my left.
Maybe we should tattoo on your wrist and find out.
I need northeast, south, and west.
Wait, we can do that. I'll make the call and we'll book you in.
Simo and Jordan.
This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.